Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let me say up front, of course, you know I'm not Curtis. I apologize up front for those of you that I've not spoken to. Please forgive me. That's not a reflection of my heart. It's just that I got so wrapped up. Whenever I get ready to preach, I want to make sure I'm ready. Not preach, come up here and teach or speak. I first want to say, you know, I thank God for this opportunity. And for me, it's a big thing. I have however many it is, many minutes it is entrusted in teaching and delivering God's word. And that's the most important thing in my life right now, in this very second. That's how I see it. I want to thank the church leadership. As we talk about in Sunday school, it's imperative that you got a good leadership. You can't do anything without a leadership. And as the saying goes, there is no chain stronger than its weakest link. The only way you can fix that is with good leadership. I thank God for it. My church family, you are so important to our collective growth and walk. Not just me, but I think this entire church, we see each other as a family that can grow. No, we're not perfect, but we are God's children. And with that, we move. I want to thank to my wife and my children, as it says in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. I said that to say you should never be ashamed of delivering or disseminating God's word. And one that ruleth his house or his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church? I see this little task for me, however little you see it, as exceedingly important for me. It's very important. So with that, let me go ahead, and I know you say, well, what is this sermon going to be about? Great has always got something. This is, you know, how this is coming. And you know, I think our life, growth, and teaching revolves around our experiences. Mm-hmm. We do. I think it does. And with that being said, I'm going to have several scriptures for you this morning. My first one is going to be 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. The second one will be Colossians and Romans, and I'll tell you about that when we get to it. But before we get into that, let me tell you what sparked this conversation or this sermon or this lesson for me. I was asked about 2 months ago in a casual conversation, and I've heard this before. Maybe you have. You further down the road than me. I'm still a guy from Willard, North Carolina, and things come just a little bit hard and blunt when they hit me. So I was asked in a conversation, are you obeying the gospel? Sounds fairly easy. And how long have you been obeying the gospel? Now, you know me. Immediately, I'm thinking, is this some type of trick Christian question? Or is it one of those I know more than you about the Bible type questions? You know, again, people ask you certain things, and you want to carry yourself that you're representing Christ in his word and his walk. We want to always be that person that reflect our spiritual belief and upbringings. We want our yeas to be yea and our nays to be nay. That's what that is. We want it to be yes and no, according to the word. However, I began to wonder, why did he ask that question? And what is obeying the gospel? What is obeying the gospel? See, everybody don't like, or everybody take kind of a personal position against being put on the spot. Usually they do, you know. And you want to, at that time, before you realize it, you think you are answering, but you most likely putting out a response that you think that person want to hear. if you would just listen to me. Obeying the gospel, and where do my life stand? Are you obeying the gospel? Well, I said to myself, I believe in God. I go to church. I sing hymns. I speak on Sunday. I pay some tithes. I have been baptized. I must be obeying the gospel. I have church clothes, church shoes. I even have church friends. And I have a car that I drive to church on Sunday. Well, am I obeying the gospel? Gospel. And I say to myself, well, why should I worry about that? Is that even in the Bible? Should I be concerned about that? How is that referenced? And did that person put me on the spot? Really? What is the gospel? If you turn with me now, we'll pick up on our reading. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. When you have it, say amen. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, and which also you stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have, also you're being saved. If you hold to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have proclaimed to believe in vain, for I hand it on to you as of first importance that I in turn had received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appears to Cephas. Again, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Here, Paul is reminding the Corinthians that the good news he preached to them, he does not say that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But these are the first importance of the gospel message, that the heart of the gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." However, if you're really seeking the summary of what gospel is, you might consider a passage in 1 Colossians 1, 15 through 20. If you would turn there for me, please. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven, on earth, were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. As I said, 1 Colossians will tell you the story, the message of obeying the gospel. The gospel is, Jesus is the image of invisible God. I'm going to go over this again. And the reason why I'm going over it again is because it's leading up to my point. It's the image of a visible God of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to do well, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. The gospel is the good news that the Son of God came into the world. The gospel is the good news that the Son of God came into the world. He was raised from the dead and now rule over all things. The gospel is that Jesus is the victorious Messiah, the anointed one. Yes, the death and burial and resurrections are the core of that message. But the message is more than just those three things. Obeying the gospel means accepting the fact that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Obeying the gospel means accepting the fact that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. It means being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It means observing all the commandments, Matthew 28 and 20. If you turn to there, please. Matthew's 20, 18 through 20, I'm sorry. 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Obeying the gospel. Obeying the gospel. This was the good news message that the apostles proclaimed to the church. Obeying the gospel is not something you ever get finished doing. You never get finished doing obeying the gospel. It's something that you never get finished doing. The gospel is you are either being obedient to it right now or you're not. The gospel is you're either being obedient to it right now or you're not. Let me stop right there. I go back to the beginning. Are you obeying the gospel? At that particular point, I saw that I needed to make some changes in my life. As of the here and now, right then, right there. You either obedient to it right now or you're not. Are you obeying the gospel? The question isn't have you obeyed the gospel, but rather are you living in obedience to the gospel? Are you living in obedience to the gospel? That in and of itself changed a lot of things. At that point, I realized that it accounted for my sins. So how did that work? At that point, I realized being who I was that I would sin every day. We all sin every day. Things come up. Things don't happen right. We don't do it. Going to church. If you think going to church on Sunday and coming in and singing like you're supposed to and got the pretty shoes and the pretty coat on make you obedient to the gospel, you messed up. you're wrong. As two left shoes. If you think just coming to church because your family constantly came and you did things that your family taught you to do and you read with what was going on, you're wrong. Obedience to the gospel means that every single day you're subject to sin, you're asking for repentance, and you're in constant communication with God. Obedient to the gospel don't mean that I can pound you over the head for something you've done wrong. It means that whenever I see that, I can say, I forgive you, and I try to move back. I have an obligation to being obedient to the gospel. As I went through this thing, it quit sounding simple to me, and it sounded like a change of life. Am I obedient to the gospel? Am I living in obedience? That changed things. See, I have a house. I have a family. I have children. I have friends. I have a life. And if I'm not being obedient, if I'm not living in the gospel to them, with them, about them, then I am not being obedient to the gospel. And I'm here to tell you, I'm with them a whole lot more time at the house than I am here for that 1 hour and a half on Sunday. Am I being obedient to the gospel? And how long have you been obedient? I got so deep into it that I quit thinking about how long I've been. I was just trying to think, am I that right now? Because the one thing that got to me was, Grady, if God cracked the sky open right now, where do you stand? Are you obedient to the gospel? Are you being obedient to the gospel? Is the question a loaded trick question? No. I saw the question at that point as an eye-opening awakening to where I should be with Christ. I saw at that point that all the things I needed to judge somebody else, you don't need to be dealing with that. You need to be dealing with Grady, the man in the mirror. I saw that, Grady, as ugly as it may sound, it is very possible that God calls you home long before you get to church next Sunday. Am I obedient to the gospel? I got to looking, got to thinking. Say, what's the best way that I can come in line with being obedient to the gospel? You know, I looked at that and it made me think about everything I went through about how to adjust my life. You know, you got a Bible there, you read, you got the Old Testament, the New Testament. You want to answer with what's right and you're looking at everything. But what you don't realize is that there is a method to the madness. God do have a message here. Jesus came for our salvation. That's why he's here. That's why he came. See, we can't do this by ourselves. But you do have one mission statement. Obey the gospel. If you can just look at your life and home, you know, I used to hate it. They used to put us in the field, and we would go out there, and the one thing they would say, you know, well, why did he get behind? How did they do when he chopping over there and you chopping over here? Every man hold your own rope. If you can just get yourself in line, if we can just get every one of us, just one of us, just get me, if I can get me to obey the gospel, and you attack it with that same intensity for you, we can make this church a better place. Obeying the gospel. We can make this world a better place. And obeying the gospel. How long have you obeyed the gospel? I had to look at it and say, well, there were some times that I was carrying the Bible, I wasn't in obedience. I ain't talking about you, I'm talking about me. There were some times I went to church and I sang, I wasn't in obedience. Huh? There was some time that we went in there, we talked and had fellowship. But I wasn't in obedience.
Obedience ain't about me wearing the same clothes you got, driving a new car, coming in here, having everybody to sit down, or being president of the usher board. That ain't what it's about. It's about obeying what God, his son, has laid out for us to do. That's all it is. Getting you in line. His plan for salvation is that you get yourself in line, I can get everybody else in line. That's his plan. That's his plan. So when we look at it, when it comes up, you know, how the question goes, are you obeying the gospel? But rather, are you being obedient to the gospel? Being obedient to the gospel is that when you go out here and we make that mistake, I know how to ask for forgiveness from whoever it was and go to God. Being obedient to the gospel is I quit trying to puff myself up. Being obedient to the gospel meaning I realize that my house, my car, and all that stuff is not important. I realize the dissemination of God's word is. My love for fellow man is. My ability to say, I was wrong, is being obedient to the gospel. Now that we better understand the term obeying the gospel, we have some soul maintenance we need to do. We have some corrections we need to make. I don't know about you, but this is not one of those things that just happen at the push of a button. For me, again, it's a change of life. For me, it's one of them things that I got to stay constantly on. For me, it's one of them things that I can't say, regardless he's my child or whatever the case may be, I'm still obligated to the Bible. I got to look at him as my spiritual obligation. Regardless of how wrong, how bad he done me. Do I be disobedient or obedient to the gospel? If God can love us so much that he can give his only begotten son, can I give my time to change? Can I give my time to change? Being obedient to the gospel. How long have you been obeying the gospel? Let me take the two crux out of that thing. You get the gospel, you put your life in line, and don't worry about the time. As it say, the real question is, are you obedient right here, right now? See, tomorrow don't matter. I'm going to get straight tomorrow. Ain't going to do no good. Because you don't have control over time. You don't know what tomorrow is. Your last tomorrow might be today. Changes in your life to move toward obedience is not a want, it's a requirement to be obedient with gospel. Then the time to start to change your life, the time for you to line up with being obedient with the gospel is right now. A time to make an adjustment. A time to face God's way, accept his way by hearing the gospel of Christ, believe in Christ, repent of your past sins, confess Christ, be baptized, live faithfully until your death. Then, and only then, can you really consider an answer for, am I obedient to the gospel? We ask now, if you have a need, would you please come as we stand and sing?